And so we'll call the meeting to order. And I would entertain a motion to approve.
So moved.
Agenda. So moved by Ms. Grumman to approve the agenda. Second by Mr. Endres. All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. Okay, agenda is approved. And then you should have a copy of the minutes. I sent them out, so I'd entertain a motion to put it in your pile too. But you can have two copies, Mr. Endres.
So moved
by Ms. Grumman, seconded by Commissioner McElhaney. All in favor of approving the minutes from October 11th, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. Okay, minutes are approved. All right, let me give Bruce a call, if you could hand me that jack.
And we got a knot here. Hold on just a second.
So Bruce has to, just for everybody's information, Bruce's mom was very elderly.
Let's see how many of us it takes to untangle. Should we?
That was my poor preparation.
There you go.
There you go.
We're good.
It worked pretty well last time when we did this.
All right, here's the volume.
So exciting. So,
welcome to BKV Group Meeting Room 1.
Hello, this is Cottington County.
Hey. Hi, Lee. This is Bruce, Aaron, and Dwayne, and I think Al is going to call in a minute as well.
Okay. Well, we're at the first, let me express the sympathy of the committee to you and your family for the loss of your mom, and we do appreciate that you're joining us in spite of that, and you're getting back into the swing of things. So, we're at the review options already on the agenda. So, pretty much everybody's here except for Larry. Larry's not here yet, but we're ready to go when you are. I got your PDFs, and then to make it easier, maybe we should do agenda items 3, 4, and 8 and 9, and there was one other one. What am I missing here? I think that was it. Do those first, and then you guys can listen in as much as you can, and hopefully this won't be a super long meeting. So,
not a problem. Well, first off, thank you very much for the condolences. I do appreciate it, and I appreciate everybody's support on tonight as well. So, thank you, everybody.
You're welcome. Okay, we got your the diagrams of the option 1A up on there, and if I could start off maybe that there's I don't know if you have a lot to update on this, but the significant update on this from the county perspective is for the auditorium block, where both the city and the county are getting appraisals done on the respective properties. So the city is getting this east half of the auditorium block appraised, and the county is going to get the 212 site appraised. And so that, because any agreement we do with the city, if this becomes the desired option, and the voters were to approve it, would hinge on the value of those two properties and some kind of an arrangement with those that addresses or incorporates the value of those two properties. So, and the appraiser, it happens to be the same one for both the city and the county, because that's the only one available, and we're hoping they can get it done in December. So that's the big update on that from the county perspective. So if you want to take it away, Bruce, anybody have any questions on that side of things? Okay.
Well, it wasn't on the agenda, but I do want to bring it up if possible. I think it would be worth having soil borings done on both of these properties. Okay. Just to make sure there's not some unknown soil conditions or on either of the properties. It wasn't a large expense. I forgot the exact number that was provided. It's probably about $3,000, $3,500 per site, so it's probably about $7,000 plus or minus for the borings. But I would like to propose that to committee, because I think it would be worthwhile, while the appraisal is being done, to also confirm that there's no unforeseen soil conditions at either site.
Okay.
And the unforeseen soil conditions, again, are, you know, at the 212 site, if there's some, you know, we had one site where there was actually some cavern or some void areas in certain areas where they drilled and they were going to have to over-excavate. Or up in West Fargo, when we did a project up there, they had a layer of hard sand, almost like a caliche down in the southwest, where it was a much tougher to excavate through and was going to cost additional money. Frame site, it'll be good to qualify or at least quantify if there were old basements on that site and if they end up having to excavate out, you know, 6 feet across the site or a certain amount because of potential old basements in there. It would be better to know that now than to be surprised about it later.
Yeah, you're okay. We're trying to focus the projector a little bit.
Go back.
Yeah.
Underneath.
Anybody have any questions of Bruce on that one? I mean, I think we didn't really.
Is that Chevet?
Yeah. Keep going, Tom. Towards
here.
There you go.
Which way?
I don't know if it really focuses it. There you go. Almost.
You like the eye doctor one?
Two. Yeah.
That's
a little
bit better.
Okay.
Is that everybody happy? You just have to squint, Greg.
Sometimes that's a PDF. It's not a PowerPoint, so it's not going to. We didn't have it as an action item to recommend it, but if anybody thinks we need to make it an agenda item for the next time, we can. We were talking about possibly an additional meeting before December the 6th for those that could make it. So we could put that on there, isn't it? Because we said we're going to put it off until later.
Bruce, this is Megan. Is your recommendation to do it simultaneously with the appraisal?
Megan, I think it makes sense, and I can. We've got a fee proposal from one on the 212 site. We just didn't get a fee proposal on the other, which would be very similar. It was for 212. I think it would be good for that December meeting to not only have the appraisal done, but to also make sure there aren't any big, you know, geotechnical concerns.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, Lee, if we make a motion tonight, can we do that?
We can.
And to make a recommendation.
I know it's not on the agenda, but ultimately.
It's the commission's decision.
Well, why don't we do this? Why don't we, while we're on the topic, you had to reschedule your Brookings County meeting for the 30th, correct, Bruce?
Yeah. So we can meet sometime around there as well. And if we meet then, it could be a topic of discussion at that meeting also.
Let's do it this way.
Are we expecting to have appraisals back by the 6th?
No, I think just talking to the appraiser, it was the only one available. He happens to be the same appraiser, so in some sense, it's the same set of eyes looking at both properties. But it's looking like mid December, so I think. I can call him again, but I think that December the 6th is going to be tough to do. I didn't realize how busy these guys were, but they are. And there's only two that do commercial properties, and of those two, one said they could get to it in December, and that was everybody else was like, "You got to be kidding," you know, kind of. So unless I don't know, is that pretty typical for? They're kind of a constant.
For some reason, they're very busy.
Yeah. Okay.
But I almost wonder if we need to pull the trigger on getting that part of it started.
Yeah,
I mean, what is okay, 2 weeks going to matter?
Who did you get the quote from? Was it?
It was a guy. It's called Geotech in Sioux Falls. Yeah, it was about $3,400. It was pretty reasonable. It was $3,400 and some change.
How does the ground freezing have anything to do with that? I mean, is that something?
No.
Doesn't matter. Okay.
No.
Because it's always sunny and beautiful in Watertown, but...
Go ahead, Megan, I'm sorry.
I said it's always sunny and beautiful in Watertown, but there could be snow.
Well, let's... I think we're an advisory committee. I think it's probably okay to say... We're just making a recommendation to the county, so...
Question, when you went through this 2 years ago, they didn't do no boring out at the other site?
No, we didn't.
Never had that part?
So... I mean, the idea is that you don't get a nasty surprise.
Honestly,
back then we were just on the fast track of you know what, we identified the footprint of what we needed, and we were on the fast track of it's cheaper now than it's going to be later, just let's go, 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 and the people understand, and
okay. And
even though it failed miserably, but it was like something that we would come to later.
Let me see if I can find that quote so people can get an idea what we're talking about here.
I think, I agree, since we're advisory.
The proposal from Geotech, they quoted, I'm looking at it right now, they quoted, where was it? It was $3,400. They quoted, I think it was 34, shoot, I saw it a second ago now. Yeah, here it is. $3,450 to $3,550, but they also said in the email that if the proposal isn't a full geotechnical report, and that's really, we don't need a full geotechnical, it would be a $500 discount. So really, we're looking at about $3,000 per site, which I think is very reasonable.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not finding it right now, but I'm sure it's in here. Okay. Oh, there it is.
Okay.
Yeah, that's it right there. Yeah, we got it here. Okay. Well, like you said, entertain that motion. It's just, you know, like I said, we're an advisory committee, and we're just making a recommendation to the county. And given the fact that this could be, a time issue because of the seasons, and because.
We have no idea how busy they are.
That's it.
The appraiser says he can't get to it until mid-December. I mean, we wait till then.
They go,
well, we could be there in February. Yeah.
These guys, it says right there, they'll begin field work within 5 to 15 working days.
Okay.
So they must not be too bad.
That's pretty good focus. Okay. All right. So would anybody care to make that motion?
I'll make the motion.
So the motion is to recommend to the county commissioners that we do soil borings at both sites.
Right.
Assuming that the quote that we got from Geotech is still valid. And so would anybody second that motion?
I'll second it.
So motion by Ms. Grumman and seconded by Commissioner McElhaney. So any further discussion on that one? So if you're in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. Okay, so the ayes have it, so that motion carries. Okay. All right. What else we got on this?
Lee L. Brinkman here. I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Should the commissioners approve the soil borings, are you going to push it ahead as soon as possible? Because it would be, in my eyes, would be better to have that done ahead of time before the appraisals are done.
Yeah, I guess so. I'll see if I can. We can get it on the agenda for next week. We probably can't do it for tomorrow.
Can bring it up under old business.
We'll talk to Elmer. We'll see. We'll do it as fast as we can. So,
okay.
Are there specs that they have to follow from you as to what, how many boards they have to make and everything? I see it says they're going to be
done in one day. We gave them a plan. We gave them a plan showing boring locations and general depths of borings. And we didn't do that for the auditorium site, but we can easily go ahead and give them a plan for that one as well.
Yeah. So they was it basically the corners of the structure, what you anticipated to be the corner, you know, the corners of the structure? Was that
I
how
remember it? Right? Didn't they say it'd be like 7 exactly. to 13 borings throughout different parts of the, so they kind of cover it in an evenly fashion?
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well. So we'll see how we'll talk to the commission about that, and I don't think that'll be a problem. I'll see. Maybe we can do it tomorrow, but we kind of have to agree as commissioners that it's urgent enough to do that. So, and I think the weather is probably a good reason to do it, but we'll make that case. Okay. What else on the two options. I was going to hit some of the historical preservation stuff, but that's a little later in the agenda. But it's not terribly exciting. But
so we really haven't made any changes to the two options. If you're all looking at those plans, option 1A or option 1, I should say, for the auditorium, shows what we had laid out previously that we had reviewed back in our September meeting and an October meeting, I believe, as well. And then so of course B was the option where then courts would follow with that in the future. And then subsequently, what we talked about more at the last time was that state attorney could also really stay in the existing courthouse and the increased area that they need. We would have money in the budget for remodeling some of that for them to. I think the goal was to not overbuild what we need and maximize the use of the existing courthouse. So,
yeah.
And then option 3A, of course, was just moving the jail and sheriff's operations out to 212. And then option 3B, of course, was moving all of the justice services out there. And again, I think we would do the same option where we would look at trying to minimize ultimately the amount of space needed to be built and continue to use the existing courthouse as much as possible.
Okay.
You guys don't have a dog at the meeting, do you?
No, we thought we're all kind of looking at each other, looking at is that an Airedale or what is? We're kind of trying to identify the breed, but you know. Anyway, so
sorry, that's at my house.
I wondered what that was.
Oh, the Golden Retriever Great Pyrenees that wanted to break in on the meeting.
Okay, well, as long as they're they got something to say. One thing on these, just kind of, I guess the last bit of updating with this part of the agenda would be to put a bug in people's ear as you think about. We talked about a two-tiered ballot before, and so that's since the election's over. That's kind of a research project for me and the auditor and probably the state's attorney to see whether or not we can do that multiple choice kind of ballot if we wanted to, if we decide that that's a good way to go, but it's good to know what the option is. And if we do that, thinking about which site might lend itself better to that. Okay. So in other words, flexibility, what I'm thinking, and this is just me talking and people please chime in, flexibility in the phasing. So one thing that's, I think, very noticeable is that in the case of the A options for both of these, there's a difference. Well, the A options, when you look at just the A options, there's a big difference in the operational costs between the two sites. Obviously, the one downtown, the 1A is going to be a lot better if you just start with the jail and because the courthouse is across the street. So the transport costs and all the other things are a lot easier. You have the in-custody courtroom that saves a lot of back and forth. In the case of this one, it gets a bit more significant. So those times when you do have the jury trials and when the state's attorney and the judges need to go move to that jail courtroom, that's a much bigger hall than the 212 site. So that's something to think about. And I guess what, and this wasn't a criterion in our criteria, but this is something we need to, we kind of need to think about it that way. Between these two options is, which one of these is going to lend itself better in given that flexibility and what trade-offs are we making, between the two. So one thing I obviously think about this way too much, but the expandability options on the 212 site are obviously pretty infinite. The ones on the, but I think we've answered the mail pretty well. Plenty with more than adequately on the downtown site. So the expansion that you've drawn into the concept is there, and then it would be a little bit more difficult. But if you had to do a large expansion in the decades to come, it is possible to do. So is that an agreement there, Al, or did the dog agree?
Yeah, the dog agrees.
Okay.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right, Lee. The way you summarized that was very, very good. I mean, there's a few pros and cons to each of these sites when you narrow them down and compare them to each other. And clearly, the biggest one is if you were to phase the project, the operational impact of developing out on 212 and that operational impact of of going back and forth and how that impacts the various staff that are going to work at that facility. Option three provides, because it's larger property, it provides for easier expansion, it provides for increased parking. But again, it's not in the core, it's not in the downtown core, which was one of the criteria we were looking at as well. Option one, it utilizes some existing buildings. It utilizes some existing buildings fairly well, whether it's the existing sheriff's office that's connected to the courthouse or the old existing auditorium. And when you consider that entire block in the long term, it can provide parking, future expansion. It can do everything that 212 can, especially if you acquire some of the rest of that over time.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
Bruce, this is Tyler. So with option 1A and B, what is the chance of saying for future expandability to add up whatever the next level, the third level? I mean, obviously that question's come up in the past with the current jail. There was a lot of people believed it was built so you could add a second floor. I mean, how much more is it really going to cost us to build this structure as a two-story and say you always have the option 20 years later to put a third floor on it?
Without doing a full analysis, I think the typical rule of thumb has been, it depends on the size of the building. And when you look at, and on option 1B, we show a crosshatch area, which would be, and that footprint works very close to the court's layouts and the court sizes that would be needed for the floor above. So you'd have an elevator and a stairwell that would have to get you up to that. You know, chambers, of course, along the back, public space along the front with the courtrooms in the middle, and a secured elevator that would take you right from the jail up between those courtrooms. My gut sense, Tyler, was it's really hard. My gut sense is be about anywhere from $150,000 to $250,000 is the cost impact.
So, and what you're talking about is a different kind of roof joist, right? I mean, basically a heavy duty kind of joist as opposed to a typical.
Well, there's a few things you have to look at. One is whatever weight you put on the top of that has to translate down to the footings and in the structure of the first floor. So the columns and the footing system that supports that first level, they're going to have to proportionally increase to take whatever the additional load is coming from down below, as well as exactly what you said, the load for the floor system is about, I think, what is it, one-third or so heavier than what a roof system is. So, again, those roof joists have to increase, and that roof deck has to increase to accommodate it. The other things, too, is that we would do in the planning and design phase is we want to be very careful where mechanical, electrical, and ventilation systems are put so that it's planned out. If you go vertically, that's planned where it needs to be, and we're not doing a bunch of retrofit work after the fact, which I have seen on projects before that have been phased improperly. So it's got to be planned properly to make it work. But it's on a building that size, my gut sense, and it's a very guttural kind of guess, is the $150,000 to $250,000 cost impact.
Okay, thanks. The one thing I think, even if we'd say you did an A option, a 1A, say for example, that could be part of an expandability strategy as well, just building that in when you think about it. I mean, it might not be the ideal kind of expansion, but it's there.
And common sense will tell you that if you're doing whatever it is, $33 million project, and you're talking about $250,000, $250,000, that is insane not to do that. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's very obvious. It's landlocked. Your expandability, mm-hmm. 20 years down the road, everybody a part of this will be criticized because why'd you do this? You got nowhere to go. Why, you didn't even think about it. If you spend, $250,000 of a $33 million project, that's very smart money spent. Yeah. And you go, well, we built it with the integrity and the plan that you could always add another floor and get you more space.
Yeah. Okay.
The other thing I want to point out is if we're talking about the $33 million project, that's like the single-phased approach. and that would be to build everything right away. And so that number is incorporated in there as well. Really, what you're doing is talking about if you were to phase the project and build just the jail first, that one is the one you have to make sure that the money is included and that the design is included to do the vertical expansion, future vertical expansion.
Okay. All right.
Does that make sense?
Yep. Yep. Okay. Anybody, anything, any other questions for Bruce on this topic? He was going to, if not, we can move on to agenda item four, which is the do nothing option. And let's see. I made a slide with some of your bullets. I don't know if you want me to use them or not. But
no, I think you organized that really well from the information that we talked about and that I sent over to you. I think what has to be discussed, you know, with all of you as well as the public needs to be aware of as well is there. You know, sometimes there's the thought that we're not going to do anything. Forget it. We're just not going to do anything. Well, there are some potential ramifications of not doing anything. And those ramifications are like Lee's putting up on the slide and that we've talked about is the reality is based on Bill Garnos's study, based on your current sizes of your spaces and your limitations of what you have, if an ACA evaluation was done, they would grant the facility a maximum occupancy of 62 beds, not the 90-some that you currently have, but the 62. And if you, and the reason they do that, I should be very clear, the reason that that's done is for security, is for liability for the county, that you're having spaces that are appropriate for the individuals you have to, that the jail has to deal with and Sheriff and Tom have to deal with. And so it minimizes liabilities for the county, such as the ones that has recently occurred in the county. And it provides improved security and safety for not just the inmates, but for the correctional officers that have to work there as well. That's the guideline. That's really the purpose of the ACA standards is to establish standards that promote, to minimize the liability and promote security and safety. So our recommendation would be to reclassify the facility as a maximum occupancy of 62. Your current average daily population of inmates that the jail has been experiencing recently has been anywhere from 75 to 80 inmates. If you, and roughly the, in addition to that, the assumptions that we put on there too, construction costs inflate each year. I mean, it's just it's a fact of life. What things cost 10 years ago do not cost, construction-wise, do not cost the same now. Things continue to go up. We use 4%, which is a good number, but it's not gracious or excessive by any means. When the economy was flat, we still saw about a 3%, 2.5% to 3%. We've seen spikes in the economy where the cost of oil really jumped up, and then next thing you know, steel costs and transportation costs and all these things, other things have gone up. And through the last couple of decades, we've seen some spikes that have hit 6 to almost 7% inflation on a specific spike year of construction costs. So if you were to use 4% as an average, those assumptions have some consequences. So if you assume that 62 beds is your classified facility and you're having 75 to 80 inmates, right off the bat, the four to eight inmates that are being housed for Hamlin, Dual, Clark, and other agencies no longer can be housed in Coddington County. That housing for those other counties and agencies accounts for $180,000 of annual revenue to the county a year. In addition to that, if you take that 75 to 80 beds, minus the 62, you've now got an excess of 7 Coddington County inmates that are going to have to be housed somewhere else. The average cost to house an inmate out in the area is roughly anywhere from $60 to $70, depending upon where you have to go. And then in addition to that out-of-county housing cost, there's transportation costs in moving that inmate back and forth, as well as potential medical costs that the other county will have in handling that potential inmate. So, again, these are some rough numbers. They vary based upon how far you have to take an inmate, what their specific costs are of that county. But for those seven inmates, that could be $300,000 a year in housing, medical, and transportation costs. If you combine the lost revenue for the other agencies that are being housed in Connington County, the housing of those other inmates in the other counties, potentially that equates to about $480,000 of cost to the county a year. Then there's long-term consequences. The long-term consequences are that the reality is if you look back at Bill Garnos's report, his population projections were a little lighter than what you're actually seeing. So we're going to assume from what's happening in the county and from what from the report that was done, that your inmate population is going to continue to increase. So as that inmate population continues to increase, that estimated $170,000 to $5,000 to $250,000 a year could be 4 to 6 inmates per year of increase that now you've got to house. Additionally, you've got to find places to house those inmates. So that additional $170,000 to $250,000 a year is if you had 4 to 6 inmates increase per year, that additional cost per year to find housing for them. If you took a look on the construction cost side, and when I'm done kind of going through this, we can open it up and kind of discuss some of this information. But then if you look at the construction cost, if you were to assume the single phase option, around $25 million, what we had in the estimate was a construction cost of 2017. If you were to assume 4% inflation for that, it's about $1 million per year at the 4% inflation. If you looked at the phased option of just building the jail by itself, which was roughly about $13 million plus or minus, at 4%, that was roughly around $480,000 for the phased option per year.
I think we said that jail was around 16-ish. So, I mean, there were other aspects of the project there, but...
So, Lee, what I'm looking at is not the total cost. I was actually looking at the construction cost.
Okay, all right, okay, yep.
But you're right, there would be some inflation to some of the soft cost as well. But what we look at is the majority of that impact is really the construction cost. But you're right, there is some additional impact as well. So what you did on the last line was then taking the initial consequences of 480, potential inflation or potential increased inmates housed out of county of roughly $170,000, and what that construction inflation could be on a yearly basis. And that what that does is it's for each year that the project is delayed, you're going to have some impact here. The very initial impact is going to be, the $1.65 or the $1.13 million, depending upon what you do. But again, those would go up on a yearly basis based on the potential increase in inmates and the increase of the escalation of the cost of the project over time.
Okay.
My
first reaction when I was looking at this, Bruce, was that it looked pretty conservative. I mean, it did not look like you were exaggerating. And you could even make a case that the 62 beds on Bill Garnos's part, that recommendation, that's based on just floor space. It doesn't deal with natural light and things like that, an issue that we have in the lower story.
Correct.
Of the jail. So,
correct, because we did want to step outside of what was on paper.
Yeah.
To use Bill Garnos's numbers that were there, so that when you put it out there for discussion, we are using historical data that is in front of us versus saying, yeah, it could it be lower, you bet, but we're not going to, that would be creating a firestorm and allowing some people to come in that would say that, you're just inflating this. This is a reality check here. I think the one thing that was talked about time and time again, sorry, this is Al, that came about was the fact that, we're generating revenue for other counties. If you do nothing, as a consultant, the first thing I would say is you kick out all the other counties and you take care of your own people, and you're still short on beds. You still don't have classification, you don't have separation, and you don't have the appropriate way to house them. And that goes back to the liability of the county. So, you know, revenue generating is not, to me, is not on the table for Cottington County if you're going to continue to move forward and doing nothing, because that just increases your liability and is going to create a greater difficulty in managing the needs you have.
Anybody else have a question or comment on this? It doesn't look like we're exaggerating. I mean, if anybody has any thoughts, I mean, my take is this looks pretty, it looks pretty realistic, actually. And the thing I think that that Bruce was thinking of, just to, based on some of our other conversations, is this is a major public awareness issue. It's a little bit tricky to articulate, but are you picturing maybe we would cover this at the public presentation on December the 6th, Bruce?
I think we should.
Yeah.
I think we should, and we could, you know, maybe there's some graphic we could create that helps to kind of show, you know, the idea of what the existing jail could accommodate, and I'm trying to think of it as I'm talking, as a just some way of showing it, but we'll think of something. It would definitely be good for people to know, because if there is no approval to do anything, there's a financial impact to the county, which ultimately at some point will affect the taxpayers of the county.
Yeah. Okay. No, that's. Thank you for that analysis.
Plus the fact that this is only half of the problem. I mean, this is a dollar figure on do nothing on half of a project. What's the dollar figure on the judicial side?
Yeah.
You know, which is going to be probably extremely hard to put a dollar figure on, but the fact is it's going to affect them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the ADA issues are they're bigger. I mean, you have the safety and security, the separation issues on the judicial side, but you also have the handicapped access issues as well in the courthouse that are, someday that could get to be a problem. I mean, it's already a problem, but from a liability issue is what I'm thinking, so.
So with lack of courthouse space, lack of courtroom space, these inmates sit longer in jail awaiting a trial, mm-hmm. where if you're farming them out.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, there's a societal cost too on the civil trials. If something's going on, people in our society, free access to the court under our state constitution, want their issues resolved if they can't settle it without court action.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Anything else on that one? Okay. Why don't we just really quick, you guys are, we'll switch gears a little bit. I think, are there any other things that you guys were going to cover, Bruce? Because we don't want to, we'll keep you connected, but just in case you were to get disconnected, you said you're going to be in the area to be in Brookings County for their project on the 30th. And
yes, so if we want to try to set up another meeting to kind of go through some of the fine tuning points before we go to the public meeting, yeah, that would make a lot of sense. The other thing that I want to make sure I hung on the conversation for as well, Lee, was potential topics public meeting.
Yeah. Okay. Well, why don't we? Well, let's just look at. I'm looking at. That's a Wednesday. 30th is a Wednesday. It's after Thanksgiving. I would say if people are available, we can go ahead and do another 6:10 meeting. We'll find a place for it. Probably, I would think that as long as this room's available, we'll use it. If not, we'll find something else. How does that look for everybody? That looks okay for you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay. So
November
30th at 6:10. So that's a Wednesday. And that's... they had to reschedule their Brookings meeting, so they can. It's a kind of a super sort of.
If it works for everybody, if not, we could also look at the next day. We could look at the next day too.
Mm-hmm. Now, okay, I think
that Wednesday would be better for me.
Yeah, the Thursday. I think the Thursday or the Wednesday would be a little bit better. So, okay, so let's. So that's. And we'll treat that as, just like this meeting, we'll treat it as a public meeting. So if something comes up, please let me know. So that way we still cram in another meeting before the end of the year. That's good news. So, all right.
We're going to need to find you a hobby.
Funny sense of humor.
Right. Yeah. Yes. Did anybody see the commercial for the Texas County Commissioner? If you Google Texas County Commissioner wife, it's a really...
I'm actually amazed we didn't suggest the 24.
Oh, come on, okay. Yeah. All right. Moving on. So... I think the next two things will be pretty quick, and then we'll get right to the public presentation part, if that's okay with you guys. So
we're fine. Whatever works for all of you.
Okay, let's just keep moving on in order then. So just a couple updates on historical preservation. You saw some. You might have seen a couple articles in the paper. There was one about where the paper looked at the auditorium site, just kind of from the committee's perspective. That's when they talked to me a little bit about that. And then there was another article from the people that want to save the auditorium. So there's been some discussion about that. Just for everybody's information, the auditorium is indeed on the National Historic Register. I didn't realize that was something I learned, but it was put on as a kind of, there was no separate application for the auditorium, but it's because Watertown was designated as a historic district, mm-hmm. and then as if you had buildings that had kept their more or less historical integrity or that was restored, they're added onto the register. And the thing to keep in mind about the register, there are a few things you have to do, and they're good things, and it's basically an awareness thing so people know to think about historical preservation issues whenever you deal with an old building. We knew this about the courthouse, obviously. But with the auditorium, the other thing we learned in the process of researching this was that there's actually a South Dakota Historical Preservation Office. That's good. And there's actually a law that says when a city or a county deals with a historical building or a building on the historical register, they have to consult this office. So we kind of made that connection at a good time while we're still in the pre-design or the conceptual development phase. And what that means is as we start to flesh out some plans in a design phase, then we're going to have to be talking to them, and they'll make suggestions to us, well, you might want to try this or that to do this. But the good thing is that there's not really a requirement to do anything, but you have to show that you made a reasonable effort to preserve the historical features. So, and obviously that would apply to the courthouse and the auditorium. And we're hitting it at a good time. So I talked to the folks in the Historical Preservation Office, and they seem pretty reasonable. If you can preserve a feature that's worth preserving, why not do it? The thing that I want to emphasize, and this was kind of, I think, as always when you're talking about a controversial project like this, some rumors do get around. But right now we're not talking about tearing down either structure, either courthouse or auditorium, and the auditorium is just an option at this point. Based upon advice from Bruce and company, you know, if we're talking about the auditorium, that structure is pretty sound. So you make use of that structure, you preserve the facade. Don't let me put words in your mouth, Bruce, and modify the interior as you need to is kind of the idea. So, and there's adequate floor space to do what we need to do. That's the deal. But rumors go around that they're just going to, you know, the city or the county is going to tear this down, and we want to make it clear that that's not what we're talking about. Anything else on historical preservation stuff? So it doesn't sound like an onerous requirement. It sounds like basically a good thing, and I think that would make it assures us, it assures the public that we're doing the things that are appropriate for historical preservation, and it seems like the law is balanced between preservation and utility and making and functionality. So, okay. And then on tax impact, this is a review of what Toby Morris shared with us last time. So this is attached to your minutes if you want a copy of it. It's in the this is just an extract of that chart. So you have the $33.5 million thing on the left, and then the $16.75 million version on the right. Is it in there? Did I put it, in there as an attachment? It's not. Those are just cutouts from the charts. Yeah, so this is just like that part there. Yeah. So, and this is, I think, one of the things we're going to have to start talking about quickly. So I hope there's a video here it's very rough, but if you could, if you want to watch that, I'll see what you think of it. And if you have any suggestions, we can talk about it more later on, or if you have suggestions about stuff. But no narration yet. Yeah, we're watching a video there, Bruce. Hello?
Oh, sorry. My mistake.
Okay. It's hold. You're on hold. It's hold music. It's kind of rough, but I mean, does that? Okay. Do you think that communicates? It's pretty basic, but mm-hmm.
We had talked about doing a snapshot of what the entire
I still
feel like I hear that from people. I
think, like, where do our property taxes go?
Right, like a pie chart.
Yeah, well, I didn't.
Since you're really good at those.
Yeah, they teach this in county commissioner school.
They do.
Yeah, it's on my to-do list. So, and now that's going to be. This was actually not that hard to do.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, things like, you know, the county only.
Does that tax go?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So that's on the list. So that's kind of goes with the. I don't know. Would you say you'd show that at the public presentation, or just kind of have it handy to answer questions? Maybe put
it
on.
Show it at the public presentation, because I've heard it from more than one person.
Yeah, this discussion is about. We just had a little video basically summarizing Toby Morris's charts, and what Megan is suggesting an additional video or something to explain where property tax goes for our county. Like this, you know, 60-some% goes to the school board, 30-some% goes to the county, 15 or something like that goes to the city. And so that people understand, you know, what exactly is going on with the property tax overall. So that's we'll probably put together something like that.
Another thing that we should put in there, I agree with that, but another basically pie chart that shows on the county's revenue side, the auditor has, you know, provided us last time saying of the total amount the county takes in, agriculture pays in, I think it's 24%. Commercial I think was the highest, because like residential was like 36% and commercial was like 42%.
So within the county portion.
So, because that discussion's out there as well. Yep. You know, the farmers will say, well, we're the one that own all the land, we're paying for this. Well, that's not necessarily true, because if you can actually Snapchat, I mean, you can snap a picture in time and say, look, in 2015, mm-hmm. agriculture paid this much of the amount of money came in.
Maybe part of the
2016 season. Agriculture paid this much. I mean, it really does break it
down. Oh, yeah. We got to know when I talk to Cindy after the meeting. I'll get that information.
Okay.
I can put that together. Okay, I'll do that as one video or something, I think. So, are you still there, Bruce?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep, just
all right.
Okay. The one thing you have to be aware of, though, somebody out there is going to say you have a lot fewer farmers for evaluation compared to homeowners for evaluation. So it's going to hit them harder.
Yeah. I mean, what do you, as a farmer, that's true. Yeah. I mean, it is kind of a business expense, though.
It's, yeah, it's good just to lay it out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See
yeah.
what it is, and no one knows.
It is what it is. I mean, you yeah. farm yeah. whatever thousands yeah. of acres of land. I know you're paying more taxes than I am just on my house.
But it's good to show that breakdown, like you're talking
yeah.
about.
Yeah. Okay.
Right.
Okay, well, that looks.
That helps.
That's probably pretty easy one to do.
Could actually
do you think
put a quote in there what property tax in Minnesota is like. Because you hear that,
yeah, Minnesota. Yeah,
to move to Minnesota.
Yeah. You want to see what property taxes can be like. Okay. Do you think I need narration on this one?
No.
Okay. That saves a lot of work. So. Okay, moving on. Then we had the other thing to update you guys on. This is printed out in your handouts because it's a little hard to read on the slide, but it's we've been talking some about working with other counties, and that's a common question we get is you know make our and don't worry, there's another video coming up just for this too, but make the other counties pay kind of thing. So and so we did come up with some options. We all know that that's only 10% of the ADP comes from out of our county. And so then to summarize briefly, it's right here. It's just a separate sheet of paper.
Yeah, I was just looking ahead.
Okay.
I got it.
Okay. I thought you were so the first option is, you know, just jail compact. They come in, and this has only been done a couple times in state with juvenile detention centers, not with the jail. That I have not found a jail that has done this yet in the state of South Dakota. I might be wrong, but I dug into it a bit, and not even Minnehaha did that with, say, Lincoln County. But we could say if another county wants to, if they want to permanently own a bed or two in our jail, well, okay, then join us in the bond for the full term of the bond. So you need to commit to that. What that gets them is it does get them a proportional voice in the oversight of the jail, and that's the main incentive for that cost. But you're basically
let's
just,
define what oversight a voice in oversight means.
Well, I'll give you an idea. In say Pennington County's juvenile detention center, mm-hmm. they said okay, no, I think they based the breakdown on county population and like age under 18.
We're not talking management.
No, we're not talking.
We're not talking.
No, I'm thinking
like.
I think we're setting. I think we're talking about like setting prices, okay. and agreeing on the price of a bed rate and things like that.
I think
that.
We have to be careful when we throw yeah. that term out. That
yeah.
we're.
Well, that's yeah. Okay. Yeah, we'll have to be figured out. I don't think it's going to be. I think that's going to be a tough commitment for a county that's even more rural than we are, to do this, to commit to 20 years of a bond. You know, they might want to go to a vote if they really wanted to do this, so. That's something they, you know, they can do that. And if there's true interest out there, we can do that. And by the way, so far we've met once with sheriffs and county commissioners before we had numbers. And then we did, now that we have basically what you're seeing now, we've met and talked to the sheriffs of our three typically contract counties. And then I started calling some commissioners today. And so we'll probably start talking to commissioners of those counties in the next few weeks to see what they think of these ideas. And, you know, they're probably, anyway. So option one is jail compact. Option two is just no special contract other than just agree on the rate. And it's going to be, we're going to try to capture pretty much every, you know, all the costs. Now, this is, mm-hmm. by the way, I didn't cover this, but the assumption is that the principal of this bond would be $16 million and then 3.25 interest rate, which is what, this is basically what Toby Morris used. When, at least the interest rate wise, and then the $16 million just to cover the jail, so something that the other counties would care about, not any court space, you know, pulling out the in custody courtroom and all that stuff, just trying to get down to the jail. And Bruce thought we should go with the figure of $16 million. And so
can we do some sort of an analysis for folks based on what surrounding like Roberts County is doing? I mean, as far as
yeah, we can.
Daily cost.
Yeah, we did. We started doing that, and mm-hmm. we didn't show that. We have another table that goes along those. So you kind of look at like what their transportation cost
right.
is to. Yeah,
right. I think that's important too, because
yeah, no, that's
you don't want to price yourself out of the market either.
Yeah. Well.
So
yeah,
as long as we're in that
yeah.
rate, I think you need yeah. something to be able to contrast that.
Yeah. And so what? And the initial when we did that initially, it. We still came out a little bit high if we use these full mm-hmm. cost numbers, But say if Duell wants to go to Roberts, they're going to come pretty close to this cost.
You know, yeah,
they're going to come pretty close. I mean, within $20 mm-hmm. a day. So it's not way out there, really. And so if they're talking about hauling back and forth to Roberts or Hamlin does that sometimes. I don't know if Clark has done that. I think they have an agreement with them, but I can't remember if they've used that or not. But so basically the cost of options one and two is about the same. So it's full cost, but the advantage of option one is we figure out what some kind of reasonable amount of oversight based upon that bed count, and it's proportional. The way Pennington County does it is they kind of have notional votes. So like the Pennington County rep gets a whole lot more votes than all the contract counties because they just take up more beds and they pay more. And then option three is, this was an idea from Toby Morris to figure out maybe a take-or-pay system. And this is a suggestion where you'd annually say, okay, I want to make sure I have at least one bed guaranteed for my county every year, this coming year. And I can budget it. And if you're willing to do that, it guarantees a bit of business for us. We give a discount. And so then the more beds, the more discount, basically. The way I was thinking of it, and this is, so these are just, the ideas we've kind of talked about amongst ourselves. If say you put down the amount for, get a 6% discount, you put down the amount for one bed, and then you but that money runs out, and so you end up using 1.5, an average of 1.5 beds. Well, that 0.5 cost, we just leave that 6% discount for anything they have to pay out of pocket later in the year, so they can at least have that much. And then the following, and if there's money left over, if they whatever subscription rate they pick for the following year, that's how we would expend whatever's left over. So if they decide, well, we didn't really need to have a guaranteed bed, well, then you'll just finish up your cost at the full rate, and we'll expend what's left. So, or if they'd say, well, we really shouldn't, maybe we should have two beds, then and we just expend it at the new at a better discount for them. So, does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the idea. And that was, we kind of played around with, we can play around with the amount of discount. We'll see what there was no, nobody cried at the first meeting we had. So, we'll see what happens. But we tried to explain this in a video because this is a common question. This is really one of the FAQs. So this one is another rough one. It doesn't have, this one might need a narration, I think, but I haven't had time to do all that. So I'm going to watch this one to know what you think. I don't have many jingles to choose from, so sorry. It sounds very intelligent. So I have to correct that. I have to correct that second bullet, Toby. So.
People in town that think that's just utterly stupid. They don't understand you're recovering operating costs by doing that. Mm-hmm. If you don't sell them on the reason why you take inmates in, mm-hmm. you got a no vote.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, yeah, that's a good point. Maybe that's a, that maybe that's
that isn't in there. You aren't going to. This isn't going to help you.
Okay. Thanks.
Just throwing it out.
No, thank you. To figure out how to say that. So. But. It's pretty obvious to us. Let's come back to that in a second here. So this is where they pay the whole thing. I think I'm going to need narration on that one. That's a bit more complicated for one, and then
I think you're getting way too far in the weeds on that. I don't think people at first blush. I think just watching that video, people are going to have to watch it like 10 times to understand it. Like as far as each of the breakdowns, I don't know. Does that seem like a lot to just?
Seems like a lot to me. It does. The table seems
it is, but it's good to know there's options.
Yeah, but I think it gets if it, like for as far as like the public presentation, I think people are gonna it's just gonna go right over the top.
Do you want to sit down with me and help me?
I will.
Yeah, that'd be helpful.
I think Hugh's point to why we take in people is probably more important than each of these membership options at this point.
Yeah,
it sort of feels like Sam's Club-ish.
Yeah, well, I mean, but to have a plan in place, I think is important. And I don't think we're going
to
get...
I just don't think we need to get into the weeds on that plan specifically.
But I think to have a plan in place, and this is pretty simple, we need to make it known that we have a plan in place and these are the options. Because we're not going to get people joining our compact before a vote because they're going to need to know what the actual amount's going to be. But
well, and what about getting the state to be a member of this, too?
We tried. We'll try. We'll keep trying. Yeah, we'll keep trying.
Just the struggles that we've had.
Lee Albrechtman here, if I can jump in and comment.
One second, Al. Yeah.
Go ahead, Brendan.
Okay.
That we're having a hard enough time getting our citizens convinced the need. Then you have to convince all these other counties, and they have to convince their citizens it's all referable. Yeah. This could go on forever.
Well, okay, so... Yeah, this is a challenge to me. I think early on in the video, there was a slide of, I guess you can just say, why do we take other counties' inmates? I mean, number one, we make some money. There's a slide in there about that. Number two, it's just
put a dollar figure on is the public safety of it, because if our surrounding counties cannot afford to house prisoners, the only other alternative is they aren't going to house them.
Yeah.
Then they're going to be loose.
Right.
They do not follow jurisdictional boundaries.
Yeah.
If there is a crime problem that is in Dual County, it is going to fester and erode into Coddington County, and then that is going to have an effect on somebody like Greg's property values if it becomes too big of a problem. Okay. Those are the kinds of societal issues that you can't put a price tag on that. They're there. They're going to, if we don't have a solution, and I will stand firm forever, the jail is the deterrent. Nothing else is. Ankle monitoring isn't a deterrent. The 24/7 program is somewhat of a deterrent. But at the end of the day, the jail is that deterrent. And if you do not have that facility, you don't have a usable facility, you don't have a safe facility, and you, at the end of the day, you're letting these persons that should be locked up out.
Mm-hmm.
They are winning.
And Al, I'm sorry. Thank you, Toby. Those.
That's a good thought.
Yeah, and that's really the bottom line. That's why we're doing this.
Yeah.
Al, can you please say what you were going
to
say?
Yeah. One of the things I wanted to jump in on, you were talking about all the different options, and I tend to agree with Megan that's getting to be way too complicated. Mm-hmm. I think the bottom line is you're building an infrastructure there that has some additional bed space in there. And if you can assist and help your neighboring counties, that's great. But the bottom line is you're still looking at your county. And I think for most of the constituents, and I'm going to go back to when I was a state jail inspector, oftentimes when it was put out there that, oh, we're going to contract with another county or we're asking for other counties to put money in, it got to be more of a housing business than it did to be the reason for why you're building a jail, and that's number one for Coddington County. And I think seeing that you had a referendum fail once before, you need to stick to the basics of saying we're building a jail with additional space, and that's here, and it's now, and we have space available for others. It's only going to help offset your operating costs. It's not going to make you any money, and it'll help you a little bit. But again, if they weren't there, you're still going to have those same operating costs. And staying with the basics and working forward on that premise is going to give the citizen a better idea and understanding of what you're trying to accomplish.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We need to simplify the story on that one. Yeah. It's probably really good information to have on the website as far as the public presentation,
mm-hmm.
why we bring people in,
yeah,
and operational cost impact.
Okay.
And I think I would just keep it as cut and dried as that.
And just like the discussion we had before the meeting, setting it, I mean, it's easy enough to look at what our payroll is. Like I've always said, that operational funds that are being brought in pay for approximately 2 months' worth of mm-hmm. correctional officer salary. Mm-hmm. So at the end of the year, the county taxpayers paying for 10 months worth of correctional officer salary because we're housing those prisoners.
Yeah, that's but like Al was, if I understand what Al's saying is that's kind of a nice to do while we have space to do it. But we're really doing it for the future of Cottingham County. So, yeah, no, thanks. So we'll work on that one. If you could help me.
Yep.
One thing I was thinking that we could add in there, you know, probably just one picture is the fact that if you take the out of counties out, whatever it is, you know, seven today, nine tomorrow, it has zero effect of your staffing. So you're losing that revenue, but the simple fact is you're not saying, well, because we have eight less people in jail, well, two of you don't have to work. I mean,
yeah.
that philosophy, at our current inmate
numbers, this is the same mm-hmm. discussion that I've had with several members of the public as we move this forward is, the average daily population of our jail is over and above that 62. So even if you take these six to seven prisoners, whatever they are a day, away off the roster, we're still overcrowded.
Yeah. Excellent
just
point.
With our own prisoners. Right.
Yeah.
But that helps define that simple answer of what Hugh says. How many people out there are saying, we'll just get rid of everybody, we should only be cutting. And say, look, there's absolutely a $0 value of savings by doing that. Mm-hmm. In fact, it's a loss because of all these other things.
Mm-hmm. So basically, the message on this complicated stuff is, yeah, we got a plan and we're working on it. And if you want to see it, yeah, it's on the website.
Yep.
It's kind of hard to cover in the meeting, but we're gonna. This is basically what's going on. So
yep.
Appreciate the comment. So okay, we'll have to.
What do you think, Hugh?
I think you still need to sell them on why your building is big enough for other prisoners.
We're not. That's the point. We're not. We're building it for our future, for the future of Cottingham County.
Okay.
So that's
and just,
in the meantime,
there just happens to be enough extra space to rent it out.
And that's true.
At this point.
Yeah. To offset operational costs. That's how I explained it. One landowner came in and I explained it to him, okay, if you have enough property, you have enough farmland, and you can rent a portion of that out, which pays your taxes for the year or offsets mm-hmm. some operational costs, isn't that smart to do that? Because that's literally what we're doing. And what I find is extremely ironic about this situation, our situation here, is when Fault County, just three counties over from us, they're building a new jail, they sold that to the taxpayer on, we are going to help pay for it by housing other counties' inmates. Yeah. So I find that
if we build it, they will come.
Yeah, I find it. I find our situation here very, very odd. That you just go 80 miles to the west of us, and they literally sold a jail project.
I've talked to some really smart people that just don't understand why you keep other prisoners. And I said, well, because it pays for 2 months of operating costs, and if you get rid of them, it's going to cost us another $220,000 a year to run the jail, and that's going to come out of your property taxes, and they don't need your vote to do that. And you think I'm lying. So you
got to
fix that.
We go find these people.
Huh?
Should we go find these people and we'll talk to them? But anyway.
I mean, there's a lot of people like that.
I know. That's the other county question.
You're absolutely right. Yeah. Yeah.
It has to be explained better. And then the point is we're overcrowded and we have inadequate facilities if we threw all these counties out of the picture.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, you know,
that has to be explained better.
We're making a lot. We're putting a lot of energy into being extremely transparent and putting every piece of information out there that we have. And so, you know, the paper's been helpful in doing articles about it. I mean, the news, the radio lets us talk from time to time about it.
But that was an excellent question because this was voted down.
Yeah. So I mean, what
for lack of explanations?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, I think we're explaining it. I think we got it figured out. Now, how do we make sure people understand how we're explaining it? That's my question. Is, you know, we're hitting many more venues mm-hmm. than we hit before. Many more.
And I don't necessarily agree with what happened. The perception about what happened the last time, but that's the public perception then and now.
Yeah.
So and they're never going to get over that big number in the front.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
You know, people don't understand operating costs and don't care about them, but that's a big factor that this group needs to consider. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's just like phasing this. You know, personally, I think that's ridiculous, but that's just my personal opinion. I mean, don't know if you're going to phase it.
Mm-hmm. Well,
because I think that's going to create huge operating costs, which are way harder to pay for than building a building.
Yeah. Well, if you know, we can come back to that. But
that's just my personal input.
No, that's helpful. Okay. Well, we're on the topic of public perception and the public presentation that we have coming up on December the 6th. And Bruce and company, please chime in as. I put a draft agenda up there. I don't know if it matches exactly what you had, Bruce, but I'm trying to remember now.
Whatever you have, Lee, we can go through it. If I've got any additional comments, yeah,
okay.
I'll chime in.
Okay, so first thing is that we did get Roger Whittle from the Public Opinion agreed to moderate this one. So that's very helpful to have a third-party moderator for the Q&A. I'll make sure I'll confirm with him, but he put it on his calendar. And then we're looking for an agenda. Once we agree on which videos to show, we'll probably do that. The tax impact one, and then we have to work on the other county one. And then the overall tax bill one that you mentioned, Megan. So, any other? I mean, we could show some of the ones before for people that just don't understand. I mean, we have those overview ones about the jail and the courthouse, the overview of the problems. I don't want to go on too long about videos, but they do save some time, I think.
I would almost show them. They're not very long. Why not start with them for people that haven't been to the other meetings?
Okay, so we'll do the basic ones.
Yeah.
And then one thing that kind of gets at me is that, you know, we're legally obligated to do this, to show that one about the laws. I think is, for me, that's kind of like, you know, when I say, well, you know, do you want the county to violate the law? Is that what you're, then they say, what are you talking about? So that's, I think it's important for people to realize that there's a set of laws that tell counties that they got to do this. So we'll have to work on the neighboring counties part. You'll call it the last public meeting. We just kind of showed a draft criteria matrix. So now we kind of need to show the result of that and how we got to where we are now with options one and three. Go over the estimated project cost again, which we hit on that some with a bit more. We weren't very firm on that last time, Bruce. We're kind of firming up what we said last time. And then tax impact. Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't think we. We mentioned some numbers in the last meeting, but we really didn't. We really didn't kind of put them out there. So yeah, now we need to kind of finalize those in the public.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And then the last two things I had in there was tax impact. And then the do nothing scenario, and then next steps should be a separate bullet on the bottom there. So, go ahead, Bruce.
Did you mention anything about? So, are we going to show them the site options for the two preferred options for options one and three?
Yeah, that would kind of go along with the criteria matrix and suggested site options.
Okay.
So.
And housing of neighboring counties or any of that? I'm not sure how critical. I know you all were discussing some of that. I don't know how critical that.
It's definitely a question we get a lot. You know, I agree. We kind of all agree. We just kind of talked about that. We're really, like Alan was saying, that this is really for, you need to think of this as for your county. It's not meant to be a business venture. It's meant to be for Cottington County, but in the meantime, we're building it for decades, to last for decades, so there will be some space in there, at least for a time. And so it just makes sense to, it's just like running a motel, you know, you want to, you're better if you fill the beds than if you don't. So, so that question is out there a lot. That's kind of the issue, even though we know it's not as significant. So, we'll think about that a little bit. And we may run that past you again to get your opinion on that one. I mean, if maybe on the we'll shoot to have something done, at least an outline of the thinking by the 30th. So, okay, and then the tax impact, and then the you could go through the do nothing scenario. Okay. And I don't know if you want to, for my own edification, I tried to look at it in terms of our criteria matrix, and the construction cost part of it is kind of tricky to do on the criteria matrix. So I kind of like the way you laid it out. So we'll have to we'll put some thought behind that. Into that, as far as the presentation, if there's anything different we should do with the presentation, and you said you were going to do something on a spreadsheet too. So,
and for the do nothing scenario, it would be good to have more of a graphic that helps to show that
right.
impact as it is initially, and then how it might increase year by year.
Okay. And then last thing was any other questions out there? Any other the FAQs that we're hearing? I mean, I think the biggest one we hear is the neighboring counties one.
The same three ones I hear constantly. Taxes. Why does it have to be property tax? Why are we taking other counties' prisoners? And I forget the third one.
Why are jails so expensive? Or
downtown.
Well, the common third one right now is why are we doing anything because the voters said no.
We can hit that one again. That one, we can hit that one every time. So, okay. All right. Bruce, do you guys have anything else on the public presentation?
No, I think we've hit some good points.
Yeah, we got some work to do. Yeah.
I think an FAQ on the uptown one or downtown location is parking. I hear that.
Mm-hmm.
There's no parking for the facility. And there's no cost of the west half of that block. You've got grayed out for future. You're going to have an estimated cost on that today, too. That the west half of that block isn't going to be cheap.
To buy it, I'll give you
that.
Yeah, well, the way the option worked out is we wouldn't have to do that right away.
But you don't have any parking.
There's some.
Two trials at the same time. There's no parking in Uptown Watertown for two trials at the same time.
All of, you're saying throughout Uptown Watertown, all those parking lots, all those little parking lots behind all the buildings
they
are all
90 full. Juries, 90 potential juries in for two trials.
Yeah,
the Uptown businesses are going to be all over you.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. You got to have parking. I'm sorry. I mean, I hear that. I mean, I don't mean to. I'm not trying to throw water on your thing, but that's another FAQ.
Yeah.
Is parking.
Then
you're
what?
Building a huge building and a huge people draw. With
and
no
we
parking.
Said that from the beginning.
Yeah.
You know, several months back, but going through this, we're going to have to identify what is going to be the cost to basically purchase the other half of the block.
Mm-hmm.
You should be appraising that other half of the block.
Probably be as easy as pulling up the assessment values.
You work off the assessed value and
director of equalization and just add them up.
I think we have the assessed value on that. Actually, we do have that. So.
But you're going to pay a 10 or 15% premium over those. I bought land for the school. Hold on.
Okay. Okay.
The comments that I've been getting are probably more pointed at the auditorium. And example, you're putting lipstick on a pig. It's an old building. It's going to cost you a lot more than you even anticipate to renovate that place. Then you turn right around and there's a faction of people here that want it to stay exactly the way it is and be used exactly the way it is. So you got people that are determined to keep it downtown and keep it in that community, but don't want any changes to that auditorium. They want it to stay the way it is and be used the way it is. The auditorium kind of hit a nerve with a lot of people, I think. And you got that people that say, that's an old building, knock that sucker down. They said, buy it, you know, the county. When the county gets it, knock it down. And you'd be a whole lot better off rather than to try and renovate the building. And those are just comments that I'm getting out there.
Yeah, I've heard them all over the map myself. Yeah, you know, whether you know, some say you should build it out west. Others say most say they'd like to see it downtown. Most people want to see it downtown.
And I think you have to vote for it if it's downtown.
I think you have to quantify all of these people talking to. It's a very vocal couple that use it as a walking track. Like, it's easy to get caught up in all of these people. It could be 15 people max that we're talking about. Are very vocal.
The biggest problem is however many is involved with the group.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they don't have money.
They're vocal. They got an article in the paper. That's
they have an issue. They have something they want to say, but the fact is, I mean, the city of Watertown will tell you it's costing them over $30,000 a year just to keep it open so that they can
walk.
That.
Right. Hmm. Yeah.
You know,
there's a few.
Their
things.
Whole gripe sure, is that's what their taxpayer dollars are for. Mm-hmm. But when it comes time to do something with it, because I'll tell you, my personal input is once the city opens their rec center, they no longer have the need for that.
Right.
You just can't have too many.
Yeah,
you can't continue to maintain all these facilities, right?
However they can, they're going to get rid of that cost. Whether it gets leveled, whether they sell it, whatever.
Yeah, okay. Well, we got a lot of complicated stuff to think about. So it'd be nice if these public presentations, if we had I thought the first one we had some pretty good discussion, the second one we had some, but anyway. Okay, so I guess the big thing for me is what Hugh said is the significance of parking, because most of the time, you know, most of the time I think there's enough parking, but yeah, I guess if you have two jury trials at once, yeah, it gets kind of to watch them.
Is well, that's what the public's going to have to.
That's the same in any city. Any city.
We're talking about a mentality change.
In the center of town, in the center of business,
right?
Then,
yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, we don't want to be paying for parking.
Some, convenience or lack of convenience for that.
Yeah. But we can make sure we. One of the things, I don't know if you can hear, we're having a bit of a discussion in the room, Bruce, Dwayne, and Alan, that just kind of going through and making sure we understand all the issues out there. We mentioned parking downtown. And I know that we're not, we haven't been that worried about it, because we would still, you know, say if you did the auditorium block, you'd still have you'd preserve the courthouse parking. That's not a ton of parking, though. And you'd still have a little bit of parking on the auditorium block. But anyway, so that's, I guess we're not going to solve the problem right now, but it's
good
an issue.
Questions.
Yeah, it's something. And I do hear that question, too. So I don't hear, I hear most people say they really want it downtown. A few people say, yeah, you should just keep it out west.
The other question I think might have been the one that you were trying to think of that you hear a lot is, so if you do this, what are you going to do with the existing jail building?
Yes.
We got that.
That one's pretty hot on the burner right now, too. It's like, so whatever option you go with and you get this, so what is your plans with that spot?
Mm-hmm.
Put the parking ramp there.
Yeah.
Well, I think over time, I mean, the initial thought is the sheriff's operations stays in that facility for some period of time until you put the money into the armory and do some of the remodeling and some of the upgrade. But then at some point in time, it would make sense to tear that down and turn the cost of remodeling a jail is very expensive. So the walls, the 8-inch block walls that are reinforced with number 4 reinforcing at a minimum, at 8 inches on center, vertically and horizontally. Ooh. These are it's a very thick, solid construction. So you can't just go in there and blow out a wall and do a little remodeling. You can, but but it's very costly. So in our opinion, the best thing could be done would be to demolish it and use that as additional space or, you know, additional future, whatever, but definitely additional parking area.
And I don't suppose we could remodel it into a parking ramp. Just
no. It wouldn't work too well.
Okay. All right. So that's a good FAQ.
The key word here, Bruce, is down the road, though, correct?
Oh, of course. It's not an immediate thing. Okay. You utilize it the way you can, what makes the most sense for a period of time. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. And so, okay, we're... We need to move on here. Anything else about the public presentation? We'll talk to some. I think this is probably going to be the main topic on the 30th. So,
I think that's good.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. All right. On we go. And then this is a slide we haven't looked at this slide for a while. I don't know if you can. We're on that slide that has our. There's a Gantt chart, Bruce. That not yours, but one that we used in the past, just to kind of show where we are. So we've gone through most of the options development. That's the significant thing. That one right in the middle under instruction number 4 is green. I don't think I made a copy for the handouts because you guys are probably sick of this chart. But and then the big thing we're entering into is now that financing part down in that gray band down there. So anyway, the to-do list out there is. We're working with the city on the auditorium block, soil borings, and then researching the tiered ballot and keep working these public awareness issues. And let's see, I think, and the discussion with other counties, but we'll keep that in perspective. I mean, we don't want to try to, we'll make the detail available to the public, but not try to present it. At least not the way I have it right now. So, any questions on that? So, in the big scheme of things, this looks really cool. But anyway, okay. So we already talked about committee meetings. We're adding one on the 30th. So we're on agenda item number 9. And so, and then to remind everybody that the 30th of November, 6:10, I'll try to make it here, but we'll give you a location. I'll confirm that. And then public presentations on the 6th and the 24th. So, December 6th and January 24th. And then we may, depending on when it looks like the vote is going to be, we'll probably add a public presentation or two. Just to make ourselves available to answer questions.
Yeah. So you're thinking, Lee, that you're going to add more public presentations?
Yeah, I think it's. I think because the gap between January and March is. It's still a couple months, or close to it, anyway.
So the thought would be that if you put it to a vote, the vote would be in March.
I think so. I mean, do you have any thoughts on that, Megan? Or?
Probably spring, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we don't want to wait much later than that because of the construction timeline that you told us about.
I think a lot of it may have to do with what the municipal election shapes up to be, too. We've kind of talked about that, depending on what the players, who the players are. And I mean, there needs to be some strategy to that.
Yeah. Well, so that's in June, though, right?
That's in June, right.
Yeah, so it'd be tough if we decide it's best to wait, then that's going to, that bumps the whole thing back, you know, so...
But I think you can tell a lot by the political climate of what's going to happen at that point.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. and then anything else out there? I think we've... So now we're at the any unfinished business? Okay, any new business? Anything? We got a lot of new stuff to do. Anything else anybody wants to say for the open? This applies to you too, Bruce, and Alan and Dwayne, if you want to, and Alan's dog, if. Okay. Hearing nothing.
Alan, is your dog still giving his opinion?
I left her upstairs. I'm sitting in the basement here.
Okay. Okay. All right. All right.
I got sent to my corner.
Okay. Okay. All right. So if there's nothing else, nothing else going on. Oh, I just had, I made a little to-do list. So if you want to, anything else you want me to do or us to do. So I think we got a lot to do. Okay. So if hearing no other business, then I'd entertain a motion to adjourn.
So, second.
So motion to adjourn from Commissioner McElhaney, second by Ms. Grumman. All in favor of adjourning, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Of course, you know. We're adjourned. Thank you very much.